Good morning, Authentic. My name is Jim Haley, and you don't have to worry, we are not going back into the offering segment. Occasionally, Pastor Sean will give me a call and ask me if I'd like to speak and bring the word. I always tell him a resounding yes. I really do enjoy this. I do enjoy working in my businesses. God has blessed me there. I do enjoy my new business, the Muscle Beach Modeling. If you weren't here last Sunday, you don't know what we're talking about, and when you miss out on things. I like to start with something that'll put a little smile on your face before we go into the Word this morning. And I heard about a middle-aged woman. Don't ask me what middle age is. I have no idea, especially when it comes to the ladies. When I reach middle age, maybe I'll have a better idea. But she had some chest pains, and she went to the hospital. And they told her that she'd had a mild heart attack. And this scared her, and she prayed, "Lord, am I going to die?" And she felt like the Lord told her not only was she not going to die, but that she was going to live another 40 years. Well, now she's feeling pretty good. In fact, she thought, well, as long as I'm in the hospital, I'm going to go ahead and get an extreme makeover. So she got a facelift, a tummy tuck, teeth straightened, hair cut, and colored, and she went out, and just about 2 months later, she stepped off of a curb in front of a car, and was struck and killed. She went right to heaven, and the first thing she asked the Lord was, "Lord, I thought you said I had another 40 years. And God looked and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you." Our scripture today comes from Matthew 7:7-12. And we're going to continue on with our Sermon on the Mount. And as we read, you should be taking notes. And no, you should be. I helped you out on that one. Okay, I got that out of the way. I won't do any more mistakes the rest of the experience, I promise. Matthew 7:7-12. We're going to begin in verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Ask, and it will be given to you." Sounds pretty good. In fact, it sounds too good to be true. If I can ask, it will be given unto me. If we truly believe this, if we practice this, we could change the world. And you might ask, now how could I, myself, change the world? Well, you'll change your corner, your part, your classroom, your place of employment. Your part of the world would be changed. If we would all do that, it would change the world. But sadly, myself included, many Christians settle for less than what God has for us, less than His best. So does that mean that God is not enough? That God has not enough strength, enough power to fulfill the promises, the large promises that He puts in His Word? Well, I like to explain things in the realm where I work. I work one of my businesses, which is this time of the year I'm busy at, is I sell stoves and fireplaces. I'm in that business. And one of the appliances I sell is called a pellet stove. Now you might ask, "Jim, what's a pellet stove?" I'm glad you asked. A pellet stove is where they take sawdust from where they build things out of wood, and there's leftover sawdust, and rather than send that to the landfills, they compress it into a pellet. They put it in a bag, and you can dump it in one of these stoves, and it will slowly feed it in and cause it to burn, and that's where you get your heat. It makes a big, beautiful fire. I think we've got a picture that you can look at. And when that stove burns, it makes nice heat for your room. Well, I sell these stoves, and occasionally I'll get a phone call, and someone will say, "Jim, the stove, it heated so nice for a while, but all of a sudden it just seems like the fire's still big, but the heat's not coming out the way it used to." And I'll explain to them, above that fire is what's called the heat exchanger. That's simply tubes that the fire and the heat go around, and the room air goes through the tubes, warms the air, that's where you get your heat. But when those pellets burn, they're wood, and they make ash, and they make some material that can build up and insulate the heat exchanger. Fire's still going. The heat and all that is still there, but there's an insulation now stopping it from transferring to where you want it. What is insulating us from what God has already provided? God's power is not less. God's power is operating all around us, but there's times in our lives where we feel like it's not working for us. What could be that insulation between us and what God's trying to do? One thing I want to talk about this morning is our motives. Why are we asking? What is our end game? You see, we pray for our marriages, our relationships, our kids, our finances, and we should. We should pray for these things. But do you want to be just happy in your marriage? Or do you want to be God to be glorified in your marriage? Do you merely want your kids to be nice and not get into trouble? Or do you want them, God, to be glorified in their lives? Do you simply want to get out of your financial mess and feel some relief? Or do you want God to be glorified in your finances? Glorifying God has to be the motive of our prayers, not just our own relief. I prayed a prayer many years ago now. Doesn't seem like it should be, but it was the first time I held our kids. It was in the Pontiac Hospital, the old one, the one that's gone now. And I can remember I held our son. He was born first, and then later our daughter. And I looked at him, and I thought, what are they going to be like? What are they going to speak? How are they going to sound? What's their life going to be like? And I can remember praying, God, help me as a father, and I ask you that you would be big in their life, and that who they become and what they do, you would have the influence on that. And I have to say this morning that God has answered that prayer. That was my daughter that stands right here. Every Sunday, I get to watch her be a part of worshiping God. Our son, he's a first responder. When somebody's in trouble, when they need help, that's who they call. What we run away from, first responders run to. I'm thankful for our first responders, and I'm thankful for that my son who felt the call to go do that. God will answer these prayers. But you say, Jim, I've done it wrong. I've prayed selfish prayers. I'm with you. I've prayed selfish prayers. So is God mad at me? Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't pray at all. You've never prayed. You don't even know about this whole Bible thing, whether you should believe it. So is God angry with you? Simply put, God is not angry. He loves you more than you can imagine. God does honor I'm in trouble prayers. You know those kind of prayers when it's just, Lord, I need your help. I need it now. I need you to save my bacon because I'm in trouble. I have prayed those kind of prayers. I can remember back when we first started, our business hadn't been going very long, our fireplace business, and my finances were not good, and I knew it. They were not where I wanted to be, and I was, well, to put it simply, I was in fear. I was in fear of failure. And I was out on a job, and I was working, and I was thinking, there just ain't no way. How is this going to work out? Have you ever been there? There just ain't no way. How's this going to work out? And I got a phone call, and it was my accountant. And what I thought was really, really bad got a whole lot worse, about $9,000 worse. And now I thought, guess what? I really need some help. And I prayed, God, I'm going to need your help. And he will encourage you wherever you're at and wherever you go. And he encouraged me. He did tell me I was going to make it, but somehow I was still in fear. Have you been there? God said you're going to make it. He tells us in his word he'll never leave us. But I was still in fear. In fact, God encouraged me through a bankruptcy attorney. I thought I was going to have to declare bankruptcy. I thought this is not going to happen. There's no way. So I went and saw an attorney, and I laid out all my stuff, and I explained, looked at the numbers, and he looked at it, and he just started folding things up, and he handed it back to me. He said, you're not near bad enough shape to see me. He says, you should see what people look like when they come see me. He says, go home, you're fine. And on the way home, I thought, God told me I was fine. But he had to tell me through a bankruptcy attorney, I was fine. And you know what? We didn't have to declare bankruptcy. God brought us through. There were some tight times. There were some struggles. Macaroni and cheese tastes really good. But he got us through. In fact, not only did that business make it, he's given me another business now. And it works out good because it's more of a summertime business. So God will take care of you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but if you're in a situation where it just seems like there ain't no way, there's no way this is going to come out good, I'm in big trouble. I want to tell you this morning, you're looking at a standing example that God can get you through. Give it to him. He's bigger than that problem. He knows what you need. He knows when you need it. He will take care of you. One of my all-time favorite movies when we go into the Christmas season is a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. How many have seen It's a Wonderful Life? How many have never seen It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, I'm coming to get you guys. I heard that, oh no, I'm with you. You have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. You need to go out to Walmart, get that, and watch it. In that movie, it was made about 1946. That's somewhere around when Pastor Sean was born. George Bailey is our character in It's a Wonderful Life. And George says a short, simple prayer. And what he says in that prayer, I really enjoy. I want you to watch it with me first, and then I want to explain to you what I enjoy so much about his prayer. Go ahead, guys. Love George's prayer. He starts by saying, I'm not a praying man. God hears those prayers. You may have never prayed in your life, but the first time, God's listening. That excites me when somebody says, it excites me when anybody prays about anything, but when he says, I'm not a praying man. But I'm at the end of my rope. I've heard it said when you're at the end of your rope, how many have ever been at the end of the rope? I don't know what to do. I'm done. I have nothing left. I'm at the end of my rope. I've heard it say, well, at the end of your rope, tie a knot and just hang on. Well, I've got something else for you to do. Don't just tie a knot and hang on. When you're at the end of yourself, you're in a perfect position for God to work. When you're done trying it on your own, trying to figure it out and doing it, that's when God can work. He says, I'm at the end of the rope. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way. I also like the fact that he's in a bar. You know, sometimes you go through town and I've seen there's this bar, there's that bar, there's this gaming room. And you could say, oh, I wish those places just weren't there. But you know what God showed me? I don't want those places to close. I just reach my hand out and say, God, you love them. Reach them. Fall on them. I want to see revival happen in this area. And we can pray here and it'll start here. It can start in the streets. It can start in the bars. It can start in the gaming rooms. God can do anything he wants. Let's just pray him in. I want to see our churches so full that when the pastors get together and they talk about, so are you full? Man, we're full. Are you guys building on? We're building on. How many, well, we say experiences, they say services. How many services are you having? I want to see, there's plenty of people in this town that never come. Let's just continue to pray that God will reach out, and that kind of a prayer is going to happen. I'm at the end of my rope. God, show me the way. In Matthew 7, 9 through 11, I want to read that scripture again. Matthew 7, 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I can remember one of my hobbies, our family hobbies, is restoring and collecting old steam tractors, steam engines, the old thrashing machines like they have here at the Pontiac Show Labor Day weekend. And when my son was young, we would go to steam shows together. That's one of the things we did together. And we were out in LaGrange, Indiana at a show, and we went to the drugstore, and we were getting ice and food for our cooler. And I have to tell you something about my son. When he was not very old, he was introduced to a group of movies called Star Wars. And he became a Star Wars fan. Actually, I have too. Me and him enjoyed watching that together. But he was, still is, enjoyed Star Wars. Well, if you know people that like Star Wars, you don't usually just watch the movies. You have to collect the stuff. Well, he collected the stuff. He liked the little guys that came in the blister packs, the different characters from the movie. And he had a collection going. And anytime we'd go into a store, you know, a Walmart, back when they used to have a Kmart here, he'd want to go to the aisle and look at the Star Wars stuff. Well, we were out in Indiana, and I was getting the stuff for the cooler, and lo and behold, this little drugstore had a little aisle that had Star Wars. Well, Graham spotted that, and he went right over there, and I just watched his eyes light up as he reached forward, and he grabbed a little character and said, Yoda. Now, this wasn't just any Yoda. This was a hard-to-find Yoda. When you're in those collectibles, they do that on purpose sometimes. They'll make a collectible that they don't make that many, so you have to search. Well, he'd been searching, and what it was doing out in the drugstore in Indiana, it was there. And he was so excited, he reached out. Now, as his father, I could have said, well, Graham, that's a nice little toy, but as I slid it back, they've got some little green spacemen over here. Maybe we should just get you that instead. They're a little less money. No, as his father, I was as excited as he was. I was excited to be able to bless my son, to give him something that he really wanted. And that's what we did. We bought that. And guess what? We're God's kids. And he's excited to bless us. He wants even more than you even know. He tells us, he gives us the desires of our hearts. Where does those desires come from? He gives us the desire that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. Can I encourage you this morning? Ask big. I promise that God won't stop and say, you've got a lot of nerve to ask for that. I know a young man here in Pontiac that asked for something big. He wanted to start a church in Pontiac, a town that already had a lot of churches. It was full of churches that weren't full. You could have probably said, oh, Pontiac needs another church about like it needs another museum. And I do like the museums. But God put a desire in his heart, and then he said, ask me for it. And it could have been scary. I'm thinking it probably was. But he did. He asked for it. And you're sitting in it this morning. Amen. Don't be afraid to ask. God is more than willing. Now, it may not be on your timing. It may not be what you want, when you want, and how you want. But just ask God to grow you and to mature you so that you will think about encouragement and encouraging others. That is asking big, when we can go beyond ourselves and encourage others. Encouragement is so important. You may just be the lifeline that God is throwing to someone else. You never know what those words you're about ready to speak to someone else of encouragement is going to mean to them. Pastor Sean, when he speaks, uses his kids quite often. Ashley, I'm going to be using my kids during this message. Our daughter Ashley was in North Central College up in Naperville. And she was feeling that kind of uneasy of, I just don't know if this is what I want to do, if this is where I want to be. And she found out about the college internship at Walt Disney World in Florida. And she applied for that, and sure enough, she got it. She got the college internship. If you know anything about that, when you get the college internship, you have a job when you get there, but you don't know what it is. They just, when you get there, here's your job. She had a place to stay, and she knew she was going to work for them. Well, when she got there, she got to work in Magic Kingdom. She was going to be on the streets of Magic Kingdom, picking up garbage and putting it in garbage cans, and she was going to be custodial, and she was going to get to clean the bathrooms. If you've ever been there, they keep that place immaculate. Doesn't happen by accident. Somebody has to do that. Well, she enjoyed her job. Times she didn't. They could be long days, and it was a lot of work. The Florida heat was nice in February, but it got pretty warm by the time she left. So she said she had some long days, some frustrating days. She's got some stories. Don't ask her. You don't want to know. But every once in a while, someone would come up to her and say, "You guys do a good job. You guys really keep this place looking nice. Thank you." She said that would make her day, that would make her week. For someone to just notice and say some encouragement meant the world to her. Who in your life is waiting for that encouragement? It may not be just words. It may be pay for their lunch, buy groceries, cook them a meal. If you're in line at the store and somebody ahead of you is starting to run out of money before their food's completely paid for, God may be asking you to just step up and say, "I've got it. I'll take care of that." Late last summer, Sue and I, we live out in the country, and if you live in the country, your water comes from your own well that you maintain. Sue gave me a call. I was on my way back with one of the cars I'd bought for my business in the summer, and she said, "We don't have any water." Wonderful. How many of you know it's really exciting when you're not even home yet, and you know you're coming home to a problem? No water. Well, I thought, I hope it's maybe just a blown fuse or something minor like that. Got home. Nope. Everything's fine. The pump down at the bottom of our 160-foot well is not working. Well, I knew it was old. We called the man. He pulled it out, had to replace the pump, ended up replacing the pressure tank. And those were unexpected expenses. And just a few days later, we were sitting there eating dinner, and the washing machine was running, and I saw this water running across the floor headed our way. How many of you know that's not a good sign when your washing machine's doing that? It's washing the floor too. Yep, washing machine's broke. We had to replace that. Three pretty big unexpected expenses. Well, we didn't tell a lot of people, but a young couple in the church found out about what happened. And this was after church. We were eating. They called and said, "Will you stop by? We got something to give you." "Sure, we'll stop by." And we did, and they had a card, and they gave it to us. And in that card was some very encouraging things. God loves you. He's got this. We love you. He's going to take care of you. And it had a check. And this wasn't a small check. And my first thought was when I opened that up, I thought, no, they need that money. And God stopped me short and said, no, they're being obedient. God said, "I will take care of them." And I'm telling you, that blessed my socks off, that they was obedient to what God was trying to do. Because sometimes you can feel like you're out on your own. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, well, I know God helps other people, and God has helped me in the past, but now it's pretty much up to me. And God just showed me, no, I still know. And it encouraged me. I kept the card. I taped it in. I've got a calendar where I keep things for the year, and I still reread that. It blessed us. Be that blessing. God will take care of you. If someone was sick and you had the medicine that would help them and you knew it would make them better, wouldn't you want to rush right over and give it to them? That's what encouragement is. Encouragement will bless and help someone else. Don't keep it from them. Give it to them. What I'm trying to say is, don't be a cloud person. You say, what's a cloud person? Well, you go outside and the sky's all full of clouds, and then all of a sudden the clouds all go away and it's a beautiful day. Don't be the kind of person that when you go away, it's a beautiful day. Be the kind of person that when you show up, it's a beautiful day. Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Well, what about when someone treats you not so great? What about when someone cuts you off on the freeway, moving right along? We won't talk about that. What about when you feel shortchanged? Don't you think you should be able to get them back, to return fire? They've got it coming. Well, I want to tell you about a young cartoonist from Chicago. In 1911, he went to work for a New York company called Alice Cartoons. He invented a character called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. His rabbit became popular, and they started making shorts. And the company and him were making money, around $1,500 a short. How many have heard of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? I've got a few. I had a few in the first. Not very many. A few years later, our cartoonist discovered that the company he worked for had stolen the rights to Oswald, and then they fired him. Friends and family said, aren't you going to fight them? Aren't you going to get them back? Go in there and give them what for? No, our cartoonist said, whose name is Walt Disney, he said, I'm actually thinking about going into business on my own, and I've got another character I'm working on. It was a mouse named Mickey. How many have heard of Mickey Mouse? He made a short with Mickey called Steamboat Willie. By 1937, Walt made his first full-length animated film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It made an unimaginable $1.4 million. What am I trying to say this morning? If you will do what God is asking you to do, God will take care of you. Sometimes I think we don't ask God and believe for it because we have a distorted view of God. He's too busy to help me. I'm not good enough. Why would God care about little old me? Our worth and our value seem to be so small to us. When I was a kid, my dad liked to go to a lot of auctions and farm sales. I spent my share at farm sales and auctions. In fact, they went something like this. All right, we're going to give me I got $1 bill, give me two. $2 bill, three, give a little pay, little pay, attention now, $4 bill, and five out of the six, ten, seven, and I sold it right there. And on the auction would go. One time I watched him take out an antique toy, and the man holding the stuff up on the rack just grabbed it and held it up. As the bidding started, it went up and up and up. It even had the original box, and he'd just kind of thrown it off to the side. As the bidding went up, I noticed he started paying a little more attention of how he held that toy. And then all of a sudden he said, get that box. They might want that. The value was increased in his eyes because of what people were bidding on that toy. Ladies and gentlemen, mankind, you and me, were put on the auction block. And the bidding started. The old devil said, I'll give some fame. I'll give a little money. God put up his hand and said, I'll give my son. I'll give my one and only son. The bidding was over. There was nothing of more value to bid. You are that valuable. God loved you so much. Worship team, you can come up. Do not sell yourself short. The value that God put on us is so great. Don't settle for anything less. You know, we're in Christmas season and we're talking about Jesus came and was born in a manger, and that's what we're about to celebrate. But we're celebrating the fact that God gave his one and only son. He sent him to earth for us. Yes, he was born in a manger. He grew up. He preached. That's the message we're talking about this morning, the message he preached on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. But then the Word tells us that he died. He died on a cross for us, and they put him in a tomb, and they rolled a stone over the face of the opening of that tomb. 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus walked out of that tomb. He's still not there. He's not there anymore. There's been a lot of famous people in this world, and you can still go to their tomb and see where they were buried. I've been to Springfield many times where Abraham Lincoln is buried. But you can't go to where Jesus is buried. You could go to the place where he maybe was, but he's not there now. He's risen. He's alive. But the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out. He could have got out of there. The stone was rolled away so we could get in. It said they ran to the tomb and they went to where he was, and the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. He did that for you, and he did that for me. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we come to the end, I want to ask you simply a question, and that's, have you come to this point in your life? Have you ever accepted the gift that God gave each and every one of us of the salvation of Jesus? If you haven't done that, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. We never want to end a service without giving you that opportunity. It's the most important thing. 10 million years from now, the decision you've made will still be the most important decision you've ever made. If you have never done that, I'm not going to call you out. I don't want to embarrass you. I simply want you to slip your hand up, and we are going to remember you when we have our prayer. Is there anyone in this place this morning? Just slip your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We do want to get you some materials. We just don't ever want this opportunity to pass without giving you that chance. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice that said, this message has spoke to me this morning, Jim? And there's been times where I either haven't prayed or I've prayed selfishly. I've tried to do it on my own. Remember me when you pray this morning. Is there any hands for that? Thank you. We will pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone that's come into this place this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Even though I didn't see any hands, Father, I just pray if there's anyone in this place that has never done that, that they would not leave this place without accepting you and just confessing that Jesus is Lord of their life. Father, I thank you. I even pray for myself this morning that we wouldn't try to do it on our own, that we wouldn't hang on and try to figure it out, but we just give it to you. And we just know, Father, that you're more than big enough. We thank you for this opportunity. I just thank you for everyone that's come out under the sound of my voice, that we would just go from this place, but not from your presence. We just ask all these things now. We give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.